Our scripture comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, welcome everybody to another week of this series called Perspective. Perspective. What we're doing for four different weeks is we're diving into the book of Philippians and lifting up some high points from God's Word to help us have a fresh, life-giving perspective. Last week, as we began, Paul helped us see that in the face of hardships, Jesus enables you to have a hopeful perspective. Paul was in prison while writing Philippians, and yet joy is one of the dominant themes of his letter to these Christ followers. Throughout this series, I hope you will see that a relationship with Jesus Christ enables you to have a unique, encouraged perspective on life. I want to explore more about that today. And let me begin by asking a question. Have you ever changed your perspective on something? Have you ever thought one way about something and then you got a new piece of information and you say, I never thought about it that way before? That changes my perspective. That changes my outlook. I like to call that having a mind shift. I thought this way, and now I'm thinking differently about it. A mind shift. As we begin today, let me say this. A change in our perspective often requires a mind shift. One example, I always thought that the bigger an organization becomes, the more the leader has to do. Until one day I had a leader that I respect a ton say, no. Actually, the bigger an organization becomes, the less the leader should do. And I'm like, do you mean he or she should become lazy? And he said, no, they should do fewer things, but do the things that have the most impact. Oh, fewer things, more impact. And that was a mind shift for my leadership. Post mind shift in the chat. Another mind shift that I had. I thought that success for years was accomplishing, achieving, moving forward. And then one day I heard another mentor of mine share his definition of success. He said, success is when those who know you best love and respect you the most. When those who know you best love and respect you the most. And that was a mind shift for me. It helped me to think differently about what's really important as a leader. As we look some more at this letter Paul wrote to a church he actually started, we see that Paul encouraged the Philippians to be mindful of their thinking and attitude. Throughout the letter, Paul makes references to how you think, what you remember, what your attitude is. So we see in Philippians 2:1, he says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my what? Here's our theme from last week. Then make my joy complete by being what? He says, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Now, there was a little bit of division going on in the church, and so he was going to encourage them to be like-minded, be one in spirit and purpose. And why does this matter? Well, if you look through the scripture, there are so many powerful verses about how important our thoughts and minds should be. James says that a double-minded man is unstable in all that he does. Paul told the Romans, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul told the Corinthians to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Paul told the Philippians, whatever is noble and pure and right and lovely and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, he says, think on these things. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So here's a mind shift for you, perhaps. If you just think you are what you do, write this down. How you think determines what you become. How you think determines what you become. Now, for Paul, everything was about Jesus. He said last week, we looked at Philippians 1:21, that says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so he's saying, hey, don't just think like each other, but what I want you to do is I want you to think like Christ. He said in other places, I want you to have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. Now, why is this important? If you look at the way Jesus lived, you'll probably think, I could never live like that. I could never be as loving as he is. I could never be as generous as he is. I could never be as full of grace. And I could never please God the way he does. Well, let me give you a mind shift, because it's really about what goes on in the mind. Make note of this on the outline, mind shift. If you think like Jesus thought, you'll live like Jesus lived. If you think like he thought, empowered by the Spirit of God, you can actually live like he lived. Now, how did Jesus think? Well, we know by looking at what he taught and the way that he lived, he thought about pleasing God and loving people. In fact, when he was asked, what's the most important command? He said, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus was all about pleasing God and loving people. And Paul was teaching this principle. If you'll be like-minded, if you won't think like the world thinks, but let your mind be renewed, if you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and if you think like Jesus, you can actually live like Jesus. And here's the way Paul taught this in Philippians 2:3. He said, do nothing out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. I don't know about you, but that for me is a tall order. Yet Paul says, I want you to think like this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in what? In humility, consider others better than yourselves. In other words, I choose in my mind to position myself lower than others to please God and love other people. Verse 4, each one of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then he says in verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Your attitude, your attitude, your attitude. Say attitude. Your attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. It's a little thing that can change the trajectory of your life. And Paul says that your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And what did his attitude lead him to do? Verse 6, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself what? He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Now let me give you a mind shift, because so often in this world, we think it's all about us. I got to throw myself out there. I got to be great. I've got to promote myself. It's all about my Facebook friends. It's all about my Instagram followers. Hey, I've got to be a self-promoter. Here's a mind shift in the kingdom of God. Make note of this mind shift. Pleasing God isn't about self-promotion, but about self-abandonment. Pleasing God isn't about self-promotion, but about self-abandonment. Let's break it down. Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. It's not something that we should grasp either. That's what Lucifer tried to do in the Old Testament. He said, I will be like God. I want to be like God. In the garden when the serpent came, that's how the serpent tempted Adam and Eve. Hey, you can be like God. No. Equality with God is not something to be grasped. It's not about self-promotion. It's about self-abandonment. We lose our life in Christ to find Christ's life in us. It's what Paul understood. Interestingly, when Paul introduced himself to the Philippians in this letter, he didn't introduce himself as an apostle like he usually did. Here he said, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Post servant in the chat. Paul identified himself as simply a servant of Jesus. He developed a different perspective over time because of Jesus. You see, Jesus made himself nothing so that he could become a servant. The text says Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but Jesus made himself nothing. I want you to think about this for a moment. Jesus, who had every right, who was with God, who is God in all glory in heaven, he stripped himself of everything to become a servant, to serve those who sinned against him. He was the one who had every right to be praised, and yet he is the one who made himself nothing to become a servant of all. Mind shift here. Different perspective. The kingdom of God is not about self-promotion. It's about self-abandonment. It's not about, hey, look at me, look at how good I am or what I deserve. It's about me saying my life is not my own. I've been purchased by the shed blood of Jesus. My life is now all about him. So here's another mind shift if you're following the outline. Serving is not what I do. A servant is who I am. It's a mind shift that takes place. We develop different thinking. So I don't go to church just to serve. Hey, I serve because I'm a follower of Jesus. When someone is in need, it's like, hey, I'm not going to go do something good for them. No, this is just an overflow of who I am. Because serving is not something that I do. A servant is who I am if I belong to Jesus. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served by others. He said, I came to serve. I'm a servant. And how did he serve? Philippians 2:8 and following, some of the most powerful verses in the scripture, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. The chief act of service in the history of the world, even death on a cross. Therefore, what did God do? Therefore, God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is what Jesus did. He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Now, I want you to think about this. I'm going to read some well-known verses from the book of Philippians, and I want you to ask yourself, how could Paul, who was chained all day to a Roman soldier as he was awaiting trial that would determine the fate of his life, knowing full well that they could say, guilty, your life is over, it's time to be executed. How could Paul say something as insanely beautiful as Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ and to die is gain? How could he say in Philippians 3:8, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord? How could he say while under house arrest, Philippians 4:6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How could he say that? Well, if you think like Jesus thought, you can live like Jesus lived. Mind shift. It's not about me. It's all about him. Serving is not what I do. Serving is who I am. Pleasing God isn't about self-promotion, but about self-abandonment. There are all of these reasons why Paul could be miserable. And there's all these reasons why we could be miserable as well. I don't have this. This isn't fair. I wish this were different. And why didn't God answer this? And I deserve more than this. And on and on and on. And how could I be happy in a world this bad? And how could I be joyful when life isn't the way I want it? Final mind shift. My joy isn't based on what happens to me, but on what God is doing in me and through me. My joy is not based on what happens to me. Last week we looked at this verse, but this happened to advance the gospel. It's not what's happened to me, but it's what God is doing in me and through me. And that's why, in the middle of a house arrest, as a Roman prisoner, Paul could write such a beautiful letter, and he could say this while he knew they might execute him. Philippians 2:17, but even if I'm poured out like a drink offering, in other words, even if this costs me everything, even if I spill my blood for Jesus, which one day he would, even if I'm poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. I'm glad because you know what? It's not about me. It's all about him. It's never been about me. It's always been about him. If I think like he thought, I can live like he lived. Serving is not what I do. A servant is who I am. It's all about him. Pleasing God isn't about self-promotion, but self-abandonment. I'll lose my life to find it. And therefore, my joy isn't based on what anybody does to me or what happens to me. It's based on who he is and what he's doing in me and what he's doing through me. Now that is different thinking. It's a mind shift, a new perspective. We can have it, because Christ came and showed us the way. He took the form of a servant. And now, living Jesus' servant lifestyle brings great joy and satisfaction to all of us who purpose to follow in his steps. Will you pray with me? Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing story of the gospel and what it means for us. Though Jesus was in the very nature God and with you in heaven, he chose to empty himself. He chose to become one of us so that we might truly understand who you are. And when he came, he took on the form of a servant. He declared, "I've come to serve, not to be served." And serve he did. And then he willingly offered himself up for us, even death on a cross. And as remarkable as that was, when you raised him from the dead and gave him the name that is above every name, and because of this good news, our lives can be different. We can know your love and compassion and forgiveness, and we can experience peace, happiness, and joy in the midst of all kinds of circumstances because we know our Redeemer lives. Lord, I pray you'd help all of us today to humble ourselves and decide to follow in your steps. Following you requires a mind shift. We have to think differently. We have to be renewed in our minds. But as we do it, as we abandon our selfish ways and become servants like you, the kingdom of God breaks forth in our lives and we have a new perspective. We experience a satisfaction and a joy like no other that comes from knowing you. Lord, help us to take the next step toward you today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I would love to hear from you. Get a hold of me. If you have prayer requests, praise reports, send them to us. We want to be praying for you. And thank you for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts are helping us to reach new people for Jesus and his kingdom. You can go online, use the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, living Jesus' servant lifestyle. That's what brings us greatest satisfaction and joy. For now, what is one next step you can take to be more of a servant like Jesus?
What you doing?
I'm practicing for Pasta Playhouse.
You are?
Yep, on my tiny guitar.
That's a ukulele. But you know what? That's not important because okay. You can't do this.
Well, why not?
Because you're terrible. I mean, I mean, you don't have time to learn.
Yes.
There's going to be all these amazing musicians.
Right.
Singers.
Right. Oh, I can sing!
Oh! No.
No?
No.
Okay, well, what then? No. Maybe I could tell jokes. Maybe we could tell jokes.
Nah. Well, maybe.
Student Ministry is proud to present Pasta Playhouse on August 27th, a night of music, laughs, and pasta.
Doors open at 5:30 p.m., dinner is at 6.
And I definitely won't be singing at 6:30.
Right. Tickets go on sale August 13th for $7.
Or $10 at the door.
Please come out and support our students. Lisa, guess what?
What?
I grew facial hair without telling anyone.
You did?
It's my secret stash.
The Hurting Parent Support Group will be meeting August 20th at 5 p.m. Parenting is never easy, and this monthly support group provides resources for parents of adult children. Contact Kathy Feist or Jill Prey for more information on how to participate.
On Thursday, August 24th, Christ Church will be the meal sponsor for the weekly feeding of the homeless under the bridge for City Lights. We will need at least 10 people to serve the meal. If you're interested in volunteering, please let Pastor Jim know.
Pasta Playhouse is back, and I, for one, feel silly. The youth are hosting a night of music, mayhem, and of course, pasta. Join us August 27th. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. and tickets are on sale now.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Leeds.
And I'm Pat Rimmard. Scott and I have volunteered to co-facilitate a new men's journey group starting on August 28th.
This small group experience will focus on building a deeper relationship with Jesus. We'll meet every other Monday night at 6:30 here at the church.
The Journey is a 9-month discipleship process to help each of us find an intimate, abiding relationship with Christ that will enable us to become influencers in our world.
In John 15:5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing."
Jesus himself said, "Unless a man remains or abides in him, he can do nothing." The Journey helps men learn to be still and know that he is God, and to draw close to him through his word.